Swami Krishna Bhagavat was born John E. Favors in a Christian God-fearing family. As a child evangelist, he appeared regularly on TV. As a young man, he was a leader in Dr. Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. He became president of the student council group at Princeton University and was also chairman of the Third World Coalition. His main degree is in psychology. However, he has many accolades covering the fields such as politics, African studies, and Indology. He is also a scholar of international law. In the United States, Swami Krishna Bhagavat is the founder and director of the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology, director of the International Committee for Urban Spiritual Development, and one of the international coordinators of the 7th Pan-African Congress. He is also a member of the Institute for Noetic Science, the Center for Defense Information, United Nations Association for America, the National Peace Institute Foundation, the Global Forum of Spiritual and Parliamentary Leaders on Human Survival, and the World Future Society. As a specialist for international relations and conflict resolution, Swami Krishna Bhagavat constantly travels around the world and has become a spiritual consultant to many high-ranking members of the United Nations, various celebrities, several chiefs, kings, and high court justices. In 1990, His Grace was coronated as a High Chief in Warri, Nigeria, in recognition for his outstanding work in Africa and the world. And in 1994 and 95, Swami Krishna Bhagavat met with President Nelson Mandela in South Africa, where they shared their visions for strategies for world peace. Along with encouraging the process of self-sufficiency through the development of schools, clinics, farm projects, and cottage industries, His Grace finds time to conduct seminars on stress, time management, and other pertinent topics. He is also acknowledged as a valuable participant in the resolution of global conflict. His book, Leadership for an Age of Higher Consciousness, Administration from a Metaphysical Perspective, is an invaluable guide for those committed to transforming the world through their role as leaders.
Thank you, Limar. We'd like to remind everyone that Swami Krishna Pai will be signing both his books tonight after one bus bell. Bus bell is the group that will be on after Swami Krishna Pai speaks to all of us. And so we're inviting all of you to please go to the book table over there, and this way you can get both copies of Swami Krishna Pai's books. He will be personally here to sign them for at least an hour or so. We want to welcome His Grace, His Holiness, Swami Krishna Bhakti.
First, if you allow me, I'd like us to offer respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all here with the idea of ultimate service to God, service to humankind. And I want to also offer, before I speak, respects to my spiritual master, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He left the planet physically almost 20 years ago, but of course his message and his teachings are living on in many of his students' hearts, and surely I want to be one of those carriers. As a matter of fact, the book that I'll be signing today on Leadership for an Age of Higher Consciousness has been written and has been offered particularly as an offering for my spiritual master's centennial. If he was physically on the planet today, this would be his 100th birthday. And so we want to also to allow you to participate in this ceremony as an offering to his centennial. I also included in the foreword an offering to 7 members of my staff who were working in Liberia almost 7 years ago, who were assassinated in the process of doing humanitarian spiritual work. This particular book was inspired mainly from meeting many diplomats, leaders, and people in general, but seeing that there was more and more a crisis in leadership. And so those who may want to look at that book, it's not just if you're leading an organization or a society, but leading your own family, and hopefully leading your own mind and intellect and senses. And the other book, of course, is a book on psychic phenomena. It looks at all areas of psychic phenomena, but somewhat from a different perspective. It particularly examines ancient concepts, ancient wisdom. So many points, especially related to Vedic cosmology or non-Western conceptions, and allows us to tune into very, very sacred concerns. And I want to offer my love and respect to many of my staff members who are here. Most of them are from the Washington, Maryland area. A few have come in from Detroit. We want to, many of them have been up all day, some a day and a half. And for us, most cases, each of us are having at least 5-6 different projects. So it's a constant marathon. One program, then we ship to another program, another project. So there's constant activity. So some of them have literally haven't slept maybe more than 2 or 3 hours in the last 48 hours. And we offer, of course, most important, our respect and love to all of you. You've had an interesting day. First, you know, it's kind of amazing when you think, some of you have been here also since this morning, where can you go these days and have such variegatedness, those who saw the different things that were happening, spiritual association in Kwan for $3. You can barely ride the bus for $3. Of course, in one sense, there's a little trick to it. If we let you come in for practically nothing, then while you were here, maybe you spent your money in doing other things that you wanted to do, hopefully. But basically, this is the nature of the Institute. We are here for you, as most of our services are even free, and where there is some monetary consideration, just to compensate for some of the particular expenses. So there were wonderful interfaith discussions, very powerful, because interfaith is so necessary in these days when there are so many fragmentations. Fragmentations amongst religions is becoming one of the greatest sources of confusion on the planet. Right now there are many conflicts that are going on due to religious sectarianism. And of course fragmentations of race, of tribe, of gender, etc. So there is a need to connect more with the inner. Interfaith is possible when there is inter-understanding, interconnections, and there is sufficient faith. Otherwise, it's just a hype, or just a sociological investigation or a process of tolerance. It's also important that we had so many things today based on health. So we want to examine the conceptions about healing the inner man, the inner woman, which allows us to heal the planet. Some of you have so much experiences today from involving yourself with Reiki, with different types of massage therapy, with color therapy, with astrology and numerology and herbology and acupressure and acupuncture. Wonderful. But none of these things mean very much if we do not change and operate on ourselves. We can do many, many things as part of the material manipulations as well as the subtle material manipulations. But it will not mean very much if we do not discipline our lives. When there is discipline, then so much can be imbibed to bring about higher consciousness. When there is not discipline, it's like going to the doctor and being given a prescription and being told what to do, but you take the prescription, but you do differently. So therefore, you're just spending your money, and you're spending your money for another prescription, and wondering why nothing is happening, changing. Some of us, we're on a circuit, and we go to whatever workshop is there, whatever seminar, whatever yogi, whatever swami, whatever guru, whatever prophet is appearing, we rush to go there for the fix. But nobody can fix you. A true teacher teaches you how to fix yourself. And so if some of you came earlier today for the fix, then you got fixed. And somebody went away a little bit richer. But hopefully, in the process, that you heard something that now you're going to act upon. Because human life is not just about sense gratification, gross or mystical or so. But it is about accessing deep, deep, rich love and consciousness that comes from making ourselves available for the mystery. We want to talk very briefly. They asked me to give a lecture, but you lecture to an audience and you lecture to strangers and you talk and communicate to friends. We want to communicate for a few minutes and then let you hear more communication through beautiful sound and nice lyrics that stimulates the consciousness. Because this is about mind, body, and soul integration. When we examine sickness, we can look at our physical selves and see complications. We can look at the society in different ways. So as we're discussing things, I hope many of you are not products of your individualized sickness, but that you are sick and tired of the nonsense. That you are sick and tired of the big lies. You are sick and tired of the superficial. You are sick and tired of the mechanical and the mundane, and you want the higher experience. If that is what you want, that is what you're looking for, then I think we can, these next 15 minutes, go on a wonderful adventure. As we try to examine first the sickness and look at what's necessary for the counterpart. Because I think many of you came with that in mind, because this is a holistic psychic fear. So therefore, it is about looking at things from a holistic perspective and not just from a sectarian, from a transitory. Modern society has somehow intoxicated us with trying to enjoy the secular magic. There's always magic to life, because God is most magnanimous and adventurous, in the sense that spiritual life is not just a scheme of axioms and principles and mundaneness. Actually, spiritual life, in a very high sense, is about the highest sensual experiences and sensual pleasures. Because we purify the mind, we purify the intelligence, we purify the senses, and therefore they're able to come in contact with things far beyond what we normally associate and experience. But we have to be ready to also to work on ourselves. An amazing thing has begun to take place. Just as today, it was like a marketplace. Well, in India, Africa, we'd say people were like trading different wares, different talents. We're all somehow becoming involved in trading. And much of what is being imposed upon us is very frightening. For instance, modern day society has traded away the sacred. Think about that. We have traded away the sacred for convenience. Now so much of the sacred is simply referred to by the top minds in this particular age as mythology. African mythology, Hindu mythology. We've all heard of Greek and Roman mythology. The myth is in the mind of the person who limits himself only to the rational, based on the material paradigm. So many things are beyond the normal scheme of things, and because we've become so much captured just by the temporary gratifications, then those wonderful adventures and experiences, we often now relate to that and speak about them as mythological, fairy tales, fables. But beloved, in one sense, those things that are often call mythological or more part of the reality than what we normally feel, touch, and taste. But as we live just for immediate gratification, then those experiences will seem so far beyond our present grasp, it will seem like mythology, which means that it is simply a matter of speculation, interpretation. It is a matter of people's ideas and fairy tales, and therefore we will not try to become and try to experience. No bona fide prophet is trying to entertain you, but is trying to help you to do what he or she is having, is possessing, is involved with, and wants to share it. Supreme has no favor, but it's a matter of our ability to access. So much of the sacred has been thrown out, and even that which is still somewhat pondered upon is pondered in the mood of mythological. We want to recapture that. And we have also traded, and we have sold out community. We have sold out community for commodities. We sold out community for machines, and especially the idiot television. Something's even worse now, and also the computer. Some of us have our greatest relationship with the television. We spend more time embracing that television than anything else. Give more attention. And some people now have begun to make puja or worship to their computer. They carry their computer very carefully. They allow it to rest on the altar of their legs. They move their minds and thinking constantly about the computer. They take it in their car. They take it when they go in the airplanes, when they go on the bus. They leave it next to their bed. They wake up thinking about accessing something on the computer. And their sense of relationships are just going farther and farther away. Be careful about what we are giving up, what we are trading. Be careful about what we are using, so to see that we are using it rather than it abusing us. Otherwise, we'll become like the computer. We have given up what? We have given up loyalty for popularity. So much now, it is hard to find people committed to anything because they're simply looking at what they can do with things for themselves. And because of that, there's no sense of focus, there's no sense of loyalty. We have traded truth for what? For propaganda. The propaganda machines on this planet. That whatever they want to produce, it's a matter of the money. You have enough money, you can become governor. It takes a certain amount of money to become governor. Before even thinking about even trying to file, you can't produce that, no way. Vice president, president, senator, if you don't have a certain amount of money, you can't even begin to think about being a what? A leader? And what kind of person would be who simply has that as their main consideration? What kind of policies will they make? No wonder we have so much abuse and misuse of humankind when the system perpetuates such. Espionage, counter-espionage, become one of the biggest growth industries. So much so that nobody can hide anything from anyone. But the confusion is whether somebody is giving information because they want to give it to confuse, or whether it's actually something that they are being able to perceive, because you can't hide anything anymore. The systems are so sophisticated. You just look at your microwave, you look at your computer, and these are things that are being sold in every marketplace. And imagine what is had that is not put on the public. You see all the things you can do with your computer, with your radio, with your television, with your fax machine. Those things are just made so available. It is predicted that health will gradually come to a point where much of health concerns will be dealt with by electrical infusion. You know, there are electrical ways to be able to alter the climate the electrical ways to sabotage any type of computer system. There are electrical currents that can be radiated, that can make you sick, that can make you afraid, that can make you happy, that can be exerted into an environment, and millions of people's conscience can be affected by it. So vibration is so important. The things that we are trading, so much of our song now, our lyrics, we're trading for mundane vibrations that's affecting the lower chakras and creating tremendous passion. We have surely traded wisdom for data and information processing. We realize more than 50% of all jobs in America are about processing information. People are not so concerned with truth and reality, but they're concerned with gathering something that is functional that will give them some kind of external pleasures that are usually temporary. We have to look and see how much we are experiencing the sickness of this society, directly, indirectly, or how much we are sick of the nonsense and the sickness. Often, we hear how we are sacrificing the most important thing, and that is love. And how are we sacrificing love? We're sacrificing love to lust. There are so many people, tens of thousands of people on this continent, and millions of people on the planet, who have never really been in love with anybody or anything because they haven't seen it. They've only seen environments and exchanges of lust. Therefore, all types of lustful terminology is there that they call love. Even to the point of rape, people are saying, and then he may force love on me, he forced violence on you. Every product probably that's being sold is being sold to make you lusty. And because we're so prone to lust, they realize that if it makes you lusty, then you'll become more captivated by your senses and by your mind, and then more easier control. It's becoming a time right now, we enter to the 21st century, those who do not have discipline in their lives will simply be manipulated and exploited and abused as they allow their senses to be constantly, constantly bombarded. There are so many things that are going on grossly and subtly without some reinforcement from mantra meditating, from chanting, from proper diet, without some reinforcement from avoiding some of the basic things that open you up for lower kinds of intrusion. When you engage in illicit affairs, promiscuous activities, and every scripture of the world emphasizes the dangers and how adultery is detrimental for your spiritual life. But everything you see on the media tells you, no, that is okay. As you engage in gambling, you weaken your constitution. There are hospitals now for the gamblers. And now even the states are having lotteries, and gambling is becoming one of the biggest ways for acquiring revenue. People are becoming so much enslaved by the passions of such things. As you take intoxications, you not only weaken your pocket, but you put holes in your subtle body and you weaken your consciousness and you allow yourself to be more and more a product for more of the sickness. These kinds of things, physical body is an instrument that the wonderful soul is there. But when the physical body is so much captured by mundaneness, then that beauty that is accessible for everyone to experience, we teach ourselves from those wonderful, wonderful treasures that are available. When we take the body, just as you heard from some of the workshops, many seminars and workshops are going on all day today. So many things about health. But we keep continuing to make our bodies graveyards by taking corpses and all kinds of unnatural things, then it will affect the consciousness. And it will interfere with so much of divine intervention that would like to uplift you, help you, to protect you. There are so many agents. You've heard of angels and archangels and devas and apsaras and gandharas, so many different types of entities that are numerous, that are constantly attentive to those entities on this particular planet. And they're calling out, trying to assist, but all of the stagnation of lack of discipline interferes and doesn't allow, because higher things cannot associate where there is so much lower connection. No higher being wants to come in such a lowly place and deal with lowly people with lower aspirations and lower considerations. Low attracts low. You hear me so much now about extraterrestrials and so many things. They're showing you these movies about being fearful. Yes, you should be fearful, because what we are mainly attracting is based on our own consciousness. And most of the people's consciousness on this planet is basically mundaneness. How to manipulate the gross or the subtle energies. Some people are disturbed that they can't be controllers of the gross energies. And now they want to learn so many mystical things, so now they can exploit subtly. Big exploiters that become very, very astute. The mental telepathy, the clairvoyance, the psychokinesis, the astral travel, the CIA, the FBI, communist countries. I spent 10, 12 years in some of the communist countries. I've become so expert. What you saw today in some of these shops was nothing. Clairvoyance, the readers, the fortune tellers, that was nothing to what your governments have to use and to put on people's consciousness and harassing many of the people on this planet. Because many of the leaders that are controlling this particular planet have their agenda that is bringing people more toward atheism. But their time will be up. But if our conscience does not rise, then we will also be a product of what happens what these people are involved in doing. Spiritual Master used to explain a conception called Rakshaksha. There are sometimes empowered entities who have amazing mystic power, and they're on a course of demonicness. And they're often in many, many high places. They're at the World Bank, they're at the UN, even some of these leaders of countries. My work, I meet so many diplomats and leaders, and so I put this book together for one of those reasons. One of the reasons was to let some of them read it and let them know, if you continue to go on like that, there will be heavy karmic reactions. And as you engage in various rituals and ceremonies that bring about changes that degrade the people on this planet, there will be reactions. And as you want to help the people, there will be sufficient help. It's a matter of knowing how to tune in to certain kinds of spiritual technology. So watch your own lives and see in your lives that you're not just taking the day-to-day hype. In your own lives, you're not becoming a part of the sickness, but that you're becoming part of the healing element. But we must heal ourselves first. The doctor has to work on him or herself first to be able to maintain, to be able to help others. One or two points, and then we want to have music. When we hear these days of justice, we normally experience something that is very, very sick. We normally experience just us. Just us who have money. Just us who have power. Just us who have position. Just us who were born of a certain kind of family. There is no justice. It is such a rare commodity. And when we hear history, we hear his story. And we know we're tired of those stories. That's the mythology. Most of our history, that is the mythology. Not what normally sometimes is considered to be mythology. So we want to know, what about our story? What about her story? We're tired of these in positions where whatever power players are in charge, then it becomes their story. This is a part of materialism, that whoever is in position of power, they haven't elevated their consciousness, they will always make it their story. It doesn't matter what tribe or what race, they haven't elevated their consciousness, they will make it their story, and it will not be something of a universal nature that will be uplifted. Well, in our own pursuits, in our devotion, we should begin to look at these things and call time out. And we should say, no more education without character. We're sending our children to these factories. Schools are coming to some of the most dangerous places. Every day in America now, here in your country, about 2,000 weapons go into the school system. These are children who have taken such a diet of violence. They're watching TV 6 or 7 hours a day. By the time a kid is 13 years old, he's already seen 200,000 acts of violence, 40,000 murders. What do we expect them to do? No wonder children 5, 6 years old beating other children to death. This is madness. This is tremendous sickness. We want to look at commerce, and we give something. Not that every day we're going to be able to just go into the supermarket and buy something. Everything, sometimes something breaks down, we got to find someone else to fix it for ourselves. As we're able to do more natural things, we become more natural, we become more godly, more spiritual. We want to say time out to politics without principle. These so-called politicians have a field day in trying to increase their arrangements for manipulation and lording over all that they survey. But the politicians are products of the citizens. When the citizens are unprincipled, then the leaders will be unprincipled, and the future will be more and more unprincipledness. We want to say no more pleasure without consciousness. Realize now people at the boarding, taking trips, vacations, going to the Philippines, going to the third world to have sex with kids. Travel agents are charging tremendous fees for taking people on weekends to go and to have sex with kids. No more pleasures without consciousness. Must be careful to monitor and see what kind of things are we tuning into for pleasure, and to see that there is some ethics and some moral consciousness involved. That we're not just becoming slaves more and more of the senses. And we want to look close and see that there is a serious problem when we have religion without philosophy. God ain't dull. His message and teachings are not dull. Not sectarian. Full of mercy, full of universal magnanimousness. When we have religion without philosophy, it is sentimentalism. And it puts people against each other who are so-called worshiping the same Jesus, the same Muhammad, the same Buddha, the same Acharya. And when there is philosophy without religion, it is what? It is mental speculation. Must be the proper connection of religion with the spiritual science. Therefore, people will not be intimidated by being religious because the tenets do not stand up. So much of the sentimentalism, just as on the surface, doesn't change people's conscience, doesn't change their life, and therefore they gradually become atheistic, or their religion is only accessed on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, and the rest of the time they are doing something totally different. Every day is God's time. Not that 1 hour, 2 hours that we want to give as we demand that he do something for us all week and all month and all year long, and we give him 45 minutes of mundane prayer, mundane meditation, mundane chanting, mundane chanting. We think that God is so weak that he doesn't know our consciousness. We've been so much into the pride, into the hype, we're thinking we're going to put the big hype on God and get angry if he doesn't deliver the way and when and how we want. So much we have traded so many valuable things for so much nonsense. So ethics and politics and education in business, all of these things we want to direct so that our lives will become enriched. And we want to run over my time. And we want to use our lives in such a way that we can go to bed every day and be happy that we have been involved in conscious elevating, in conscious raising, in changing. So we're very happy that you had all of these workshops and things today. You had a chance to perhaps get literatures and hear more from others, relationship and how to deal with some of your problems. Now you've heard some of these things. The important thing is now what will you do? Will you be the person who's looking for workshop to workshop, looking for a crystal this day, a mineral this day, a dawning experience, looking for a yantra, looking for a mantra? You'll keep on looking outside, and there won't be the inner connection that is there and accessible. But if we allow ourselves to cultivate that which is the soul, in Bhagavad Gita, a very famous book we have here earlier today, there's a powerful verse in Sanskrit that says that Namam Diskritino Mudha Papajante Naradama Mayaya Pityama Suram Bhavam Ashritaha. Sanskrit is one of the written languages of the world. It's one of the languages spoken by angelic hosts. And it has powerful effects on consciousness. This verse explains that there are different types of people who never fully get God's love, never fully surrender to the Supreme. Those who are kind of like the donkey. The donkey, you know, is very dull intelligence, just looking for a little carrot, a little something. As long as there's something there to eat, he's happy and will do anything. And then there are those who are so much engrossed in economic development only that there is no time for spiritual pursuits. And they also cheat themselves. They miss out the wonderful opportunity of growth. And then there are those who are maya apitigyan. There are those who become so enamored by the shakti, so much enamored by the mysticism, so much enamored by the subtleties that it becomes so much a part of their own investigation of subtle intoxication. They've been so much in the past in gross intoxication, and now they want to dabble in subtle intoxication, and that becomes an interference. And then there are those who never really surrender to the Lord, who get the Lord's mercy, who experience the higher pleasures of life, because they are surahs. There are some people on this planet who have come from lower planets. There are some people on this planet who have taken who have entered inside of various bodies. This is called possession. Where they've actually entered into some, you know, sometimes people are doing what's called time sharing. Sometimes people have a body that's being used by many other presences. You hear many of these people who are committing serial crimes, and they say that they heard voices forcing them to do this or do that. They are not just saying that through speculation or saying the devil made me do it, because they do sometimes hear. Imagine somebody who kills 30, 40 people grossly, eats their organs and things. That's not a normal sinful person. Those are the activities of demons that have intruded into the body, intruded into the consciousness. And as they've entered into the consciousness, then they begin to use and manipulate. And more people will have this grossly and subtly if they do not regulate their minds and senses and intellect. They do not do exhilarating things that give some protection. As you have better diet, as you avoid illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, as you engage in chanting and speaking mantras and hearing powerful spiritual music, as you watch your association, because those who you associate with, they are also intruding and you are sharing and they are sharing with you. Energies, exchanges are going on. So as you associate with higher persons, with higher concerns, then you protect each other. And you open yourselves up for more sense of love and divinity. So we thank you very much. You're all wonderful and beautiful. And we're happy to have this chance. Because you wouldn't have come here unless you had some kind of unusual interest. There's so many things you could have did on Saturday night. And coming all the way here to the armory. So we are happy that you've come, and we hope that as you've gone through the morning and later the next one or two programs, that you will take full nourishment, and especially you will take it and you will own it, and then in your own life,
you'll begin to be not the kind of person who's reading the Bible, reading the Quran, reading the Torah, reading the Vedas, but one who is an experiencer. Not one who is reverential toward the prophets and the acharyas, but one who has began to see the spiritual world or the windows of the spiritual world as things unfolding in one's own life. And this is the duty, really, of the great teachers. Their duty is to help us first to see our sickness, and then to help us to understand the prescription that's necessary, and then to wish us on, and to bless us, and to encourage us as we pursue that glorious struggle of adventurous chance for higher knowledge and exhilaration. Thank you very much.
Swami Krishnapad. There will be a 20-minute intermission for those who are interested in purchasing or having a personal copy signed of one of his books. You may do so now. If you want to stretch your legs or grab something to eat, please do so.